Well, hello, listeners, friends, ladies, gentlemen. An exciting show tonight. It's November 26th, 2012. A gnarly show, just an absolutely gnarly show we have lined up for you. Highly controversial tonight. We have for you, for your listening and educational pleasure, part four with Mr. Eric John Phelps of Vatican Assassins, author of the hardback, hardcover, and ebook Vatican Assassins, Wounded in the House of My Friends. Folks, this is 1,800 pages, including 700 photos, includes a bonus CD with 13 rare and anti-Jesuit books. This is absolutely great stuff. Food for the mind, food for your conspiracy facts. Last week, we had the opportunity to talk about Alex Jones, father, Knight of Malta, Jesse Ventura, CIA for life, connections to the company, Wild Bill Donovan, Tom Monahan. Then we've got George Norrie, who came out of University of Detroit Mercy, connected to John C. Gannon, Ron Paul making multiple trips to Rome, never talking bad about the Pope. We talked a little bit about Iran, the conflict between the Sunni and the Shia. We talked about the Reconstruction. We talked about John Lafarge. We dove into the civil rights movement. We explored the Jesuit Freemasonic connection to the Nation of Islam and Louis Farrakhan. We explored the reason behind the Muslim immigration into the Western Europe. And tonight, we want to talk about what we hoped to talk about last episode, but we just didn't get a chance. Tonight, assassinations. Any conspiracy factualist out there can say they are in tune with the various assassination conspiracies, you know, Lincoln, MLK, John Lennon, Yitzhak Rabin, Benazir Bhutto, who was in the news just recently. High evidence that he was poisoned. Some kind of poisoning took place, very likely with Yasser Arafat. But without further ado, Mr. Eric John Phelps, my good friend, are you with us?
Yes, pleasure to be with you, Max, and your listeners tonight.
Awesome. Eric, thank you so much for joining us for part four. I just cannot wait to hear what you have in store for us today. Assassinations. I'm sure I've thought of a little bit about this, maybe where we should start. I've set a nice foundation here with, you know, the known conspiracies, the known assassinations. You know, everybody knows about Lincoln, MLK, John Lennon. Those are the easy ones, right? Those are the low-hanging fruit. So
that's right.
Where do you think we should start tonight?
We need to probably begin with the doctrine that defends and vindicates the doctrine of what the Jesuits call regicide. Regicide, as you know, is the doctrine of the killing of kings. And so we would go to the writings of Francisco Sarez and Des Regi, and in that he describes and defends the right of the order to kill heretic and liberal and usurping kings. And remember, in the mind of the Jesuit, a usurper is one who rules without submitting to the temporal power of the Pope. And that's why they killed Kennedy, because he was regarded as a usurper.
Very
any true. Any true nationalist were regarded as a usurper, and so that doctrine of Des Regi, these writings of the Jesuits, of Francisco Sarez and others, Molina, they were all publicly burned on the courthouse steps and the parliament steps in France in around 1763. And shortly thereafter, France openly expelled the Jesuits in 1764. So this doctrine of justifying the killing of kings is a foundation of the order, and it's with this foundation that they kill anybody in their way that stands against them, submitting all nations, all governments, to the temporal power of the Pope of their control.
Wow, that is interesting. And because of the We have so much information to cover. We will not have time to address any of the listeners' questions. We appreciate your questions. We are getting them. We have saved them for the right time. But tonight, we've got a lot of information to cover. We're going to move fast. And I'm sorry again, we're going to be... Eric, you've set a great foundation here. Regicide, the killing of kings. You know, they did it with JFK. You know, he was biting the hands that feed him. It sounds like he was not doing what he was supposed to do, and he was clipped.
That's right. That's right. JFK was put in office by the order, and he supposedly just won the election by 114,000 votes, but they put him in the office of president for the purpose of having him do what they wanted him to do. And when he turned, then that's when they decided to kill him. And in fact, there was just a very interesting interview on Coast to Coast last night. The gentleman's name was Cohen. He's out of New York City. And he talked about Madame Nu, who's known as the Dragon Lady. She had some 25,000 women bodyguards and in Vietnam, and she was the one whose husband, Diem, was murdered, not by Kennedy, but by Henry Cabot Lodge and the CIA. And so she believed it was Kennedy, so she called for his death. And she's, remember, a billionaire, a Roman Catholic. She can have Vietnam. And so she apparently had some sort of influence in the Kennedy assassination, but the connection of Cardinal Spellman was brought out by this Mr. Cohen, which further vindicates my position that Spellman was the mastermind behind the entire murder. So the Jesuits will kill without question their enemies. Fletcher Prouty writes about it in his great work, The Secret Team, and also in his other great work, JFK. He says the Secret Team uses assassination, and they use it regularly. Well, the Secret Team is the Jesuit order in control of all the intelligence communities in the world.
Interesting. Yeah, that makes sense that they would, you know, of course, use all of the, you know, they would actually have insight into all of the compartmentalized, you know, intelligence agencies that don't necessarily talk or interact with each other. But at the very top of the pyramid, oh, is there a control mechanism?
Mm-hmm. And the Knights of Malta have always controlled the CIA. And the CIA, the Knights then are get their orders directly from Rome or their Grand Master.
Interesting. Yep, somebody has to pull the strings at the top of the food chain. It would make sense that that it would come from the Vatican. You had expressed that you know, there were even some killings. You know, they've taken out the Pope even, you know, hundreds of years ago. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, they took out several popes. In fact, the most recent one was Pope John Paul I. They allowed him to be in office for 33 days, and then on his 33rd day, on the Masonic 33rd degree day, they poisoned him. And there's a book titled The Murder in the Vatican by Avril Manhattan, and he explains it thoroughly how he was poisoned.
Wow. Interesting. I'll have to pick that one up.
And also the other book, In God's Name, about the killing of the Pope, and he also talks about all these high cardinals were all these Freemasons, and he gives the name of all these Masonic.
Very interesting. So what, how far back does this go, Eric? What's the first assassination that, you know, that you've found as far as going back in the historic record? What's the earliest one? And I guess we could work up from there.
As I document in my book, one of the earliest ones was the attempted assassination of Queen Elizabeth. And actually before her, they killed Edward VI, the boy king in England. He was 16 or so when they killed him. They poisoned him because he was very Protestant and wanted to further the Reformation, so he was poisoned. And then Bloody Mary came to power, the Roman Catholic, whose husband was Philip II of Spain, a bloody murderer and keeper of the Jesuits there in Madrid. And then after Mary died, then Elizabeth comes to the throne, and there were some 8-10 attempts to murder her, but God prevented it from happening by using certain men like Walsingham and others, who was a Puritan. And but in their failing to kill Elizabeth, then when James has come to power, they sought to kill James by blowing him up with the gunpowder plot in 1605. by blowing up the entire British Parliament with 36 barrels of gunpowder underneath the Parliament when they caught Guy Fawkes booted and spurred and ready to ignite the gunpowder to blow up the entire Parliament, James and his entire family. So that was a notable day, and the English people have celebrated Guy Fawkes Day, which is November 5th, for every year thereafter, remembering this Jesuit design.
Remember the 5th of November. So is it safe to say that Fawkes or his handlers were Jesuit coadjutors?
Oh, of course. Henry Garnet was a foremost Jesuit. He was a provincial in England. He was tried by Lord Coke and found guilty and executed. But there were several others, Greenway and others, that were Jesuits. They escaped to France, but the provincial was put to death because he was proven to be the ringleader of it.
Interesting. Okay, and I know you have some interesting evidence here that even some of the lesser known assassinations have taken place. You know, in other words, but the public didn't even know were actually assassinations.
That's right. The Jesuits cover up their assassinations with supposed sicknesses, like apoplexy. That's one that's really poisoning, but they all call it apoplexy. They poison a Holy Roman Emperor, Maximilian, I believe, the first, with apoplexy. That's what it said what he died of, but Maximilian was resisting the Jesuits. Now, they killed this Holy Roman Emperor, his most powerful. They went on to kill Henry IV of France. Aliac stabbed him through the heart. It was set up by certain men within his coterie to stop the carriage in the middle of the street, and that Valiak would run up, jump up on the carriage, and stab Henry through the heart, and that's exactly what happened. And when that happened, he was the king of France, and he had expelled the Jesuits, but then allowed them to return because he was afraid of them, and then ultimately they assassinated him this way in 1610. And when this happened, King James was the king at the time, and this put great fear into his heart. And it's about this time that King James begins to turn and becomes to facilitate the Jesuits for his last 15 years in his reign. But this was because Henry IV had warned James of the plot to kill him. And then he finds the Guy Fawkes plot, the 5th of November and so on. But this was all traced to Henry IV. Henry IV wanted to set up a coalition of nations in Europe to fight the Jesuits and to fight the papal power. So that's another reason why they killed him, just like they killed Cromwell. Oliver Cromwell was poisoned with antimony and mercury. And you can find this in a book called The Death of Cromwell, where his doctor, Dr. Bate, confessed to his murder on his deathbed.
Oh, wow. Okay. And, yeah, I didn't know that. I'm kind of following along as you're talking here, and I have a list actually up on decryptedmatrix.com. It's called Global Assassinations to Date. And man, is it a long list. It's got all, you know, so many kings and emperors and political leaders, and, you know, it's divided up by region, and most of it is in chronological order. And on my list here, I see that you're absolutely right. Henry IV is shown as 1610, King of France. And on my list here right before him is actually Henry III as well, 1589, right. King of France. Why did they take him out?
They killed him too because he was resisting the order. They used a Dominican to do it, but the Jesuits were behind it.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And I see just a little bit farther down the list, and anybody who wants to follow along can go to decryptedmatrix.com and then just type in the search bar, assassinations list. It should pop right up, you know, global assassinations to date. You know, in the heading, it's got a picture of the Kennedy assassination. And so it just goes on and on with a long list. And next in the list, and I was hoping you could shed some light on this, is it looks like they took out three Gandhis, Mohandas Gandhi, Indira Gandhi, and Rajiv Gandhi.
Rajiv,
can you shed any light there?
Yeah, those were all CIA assassinations. Mm-hmm. And remember, whenever a CIA assassination takes place, it's always on order of the Knights of Malta, subject to Rome.
The company, right? You've mentioned this link between, they call the company is also, what, it's the CIA is known as the company. We see that in movies. And then where else have we heard the company?
The Jesuits are also called the company.
Oh.
The Jesuits have a magazine called Company. It's a monthly magazine.
Oh, that's subtle.
Right. But remember, the Jesuits are a military organization. So therefore, They're the Revived Knights Templars. So it's a military crusading order. And it was first going to be named the Knights of the Virgin Mary. Loyola named them that to begin with. But it's called the Company of Jesus. And just like the CIA is called the Company. In fact, the CIA was completely patterned after the Jesuit order. The director of the CIA is a Jesuit general.
That would, of course, that would make sense. Would certainly make sense. I see further in the list here, assassinations in Iran. Ali Razmara in 1951, prime minister of Iran. Were you aware of that one?
Yes. And also they killed the succeeding prime minister after that.
Hassan Ali Mansour, I believe.
I believe it's the one that was resisting the British. And because remember, the Jesuits are controlling the British Empire since no later than King George III. Even Jesuit coadjutor Tupper Saucy says that in his book, Rulers of Evil. But they killed him, too. So anybody that's resisting their commercial, capitalistic, cartel capitalistic power, they kill. Anybody that's resisting their political power, they kill. Oftentimes their academic power. They get some significant academics that are frustrating them, like the great author of Confessions of a Medical Heretic. What was his name? He wrote Confessions of a Medical Heretic, a very brilliant Jew. He was so brilliant that he completely refuted all the medical doctors' defense of vaccinations. And when he would go to debate, there would be no one with a chair to resist him. So ultimately, since they couldn't silence him, they poisoned him. Mendelssohn.
Robert Mendelssohn.
He was poisoned.
Interesting.
And people in science, they will kill. Like Stan Myers, who pioneered the running a car on water.
Yeah, the water-powered car. Drove it all the way across the country on a gallon of water. Ends up dead, and his work is destroyed and taken from the public.
That's correct.
Yep, so we got to cut to a break real quick. I hear the music coming, Eric. When we get back, we're going to dive right back into assassinations, re-explore Lincoln a little bit, and then we'll go from there. So hang out. We'll be right back. Revealing Talk Radio, Eric John Phelps on Decrypted Matrix.
You're listening to Revealing Talk Radio. We can't pay you for sharing and tweeting us on Facebook and Twitter, but we will love you for it. Find links on our website at revealingtalkradio.com and follow us today.
This is Matthew Cooper from the Positive Control Systems Show. All behavior is communication. Tune in and learn how to properly communicate with your family and everyone around you. Join me each Wednesday at 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 Pacific, right here on Revealing Talk Radio.
G'day, this is Timmy from the Timmy Down Under Show. I'm an Aussie bloke keeping it real on the Gold Coast of Australia. Check me out each week right here on Revealing Talk Radio. You'll get the Aussie perspective. I'll be here waiting for you.
If you've ever wanted to host your own talk show, Revealing Talk Radio, the world's newest premier radio network, has an opportunity for you. We're looking for many topics, whether your interest is in business, sports, helping others, alternative news, or simply promoting a product. Revealing Talk Radio wants you to become a talk radio host today. Go to revealingtalkradio.com or call 407-796-2102. You're listening to Revealing Talk Radio.
All right. Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to Revealing Talk Radio, Decrypted Matrix with Max Maverick. And tonight, our guest, Eric John Phelps, founder of VaticanAssassins.org, also author of Vatican Assassins, Wounded in the House of My Friends. Got to hop over to his site, VaticanAssassins.org/store. check out the two versions of his book there, ebook or the hardcover, whatever you prefer. But it's a ton of info, a ton of photos, you know, plus 13 rare anti-Jesuit books that you probably find anywhere else. Tonight's episode is about assassinations, global assassinations. Assassinations to date is the article up on decryptedmatrix.com right now. So we're just running along this list, kind of jumping around a little bit. And Eric is definitely filling many gaps as we go along. Eric, so I think you were finishing a thought there in the right before the break. I'll let you finish that out, and then we'll jump over maybe to explore the Lincoln assassination again, maybe in a little more depth this time.
I really can't remember the thought.
It was the Confessions of a Medical Heretic. We were talking.
Yes, Robert Mendelsohn. That is the classic work for everybody that's interested in beginning their study of Jesuit medica. The Jesuits run the entire oil industry, and medicine, as we know it today, is based upon oil because all your drugs are oil based.
Yeah.
So when men like Mendelsohn come along and others that utterly disprove the theory that this is legitimate medicine, why then they can't shut them up and they can't pay them off. And so the only option they have is to remove them. And so that's what they do.
Yeah, makes sense. I remember reading about how the, you know, the Rockefellers and the Morgans came together. They figured out, hey, we want to control the medical industry. How are we going to do it? They sent a guy out to research, and he came back and said, you know what, guys, we need a gatekeeper. That gatekeeper will be the American Medical Association, and they will decide what is profitable and what is not. I mean, what is effective and what is not. And really, it leads to what's profitable, and that's synthetics. Synthetics are profitable. Natural medicine is not, and so that's why we have the status quo that we have.
Yeah, to what's profitable while we're killing the population. So they kill two birds in one stone. We also want to remember the first head of the AMA was a guy named Hunter McGuire. Hunter McGuire was the murderer of Stonewall Jackson.
Patel.
Kenny Station. Mm-hmm. He was a major in the Confederacy, in the Confederate Army, and he was 24 at the time. And he was under orders from Lee, Robert E. Lee, the traitor, to poison Jackson if Jackson did not die from his wounds. So this is what happened. Lee never visited Jackson at Guinea Station. If Jackson was such his right arm, why didn't he go to see him? So Hunter McGuire poisoned him, and then he goes on to be the head of the American Medical Association. He's the first man ever to tie off an aorta, and on his deathbed, he was intricately poisoned so that he couldn't speak. He couldn't make any deathbed confession. But this is the beginning of the AMA, started by a murderer of our greatest military hero, Stonewall Jackson.
Stonewall Jackson. Man, there's a little history that I bet the listeners didn't know. I certainly didn't know that one.
Cover that in my book.
Yep. Definitely have to pick that one up. I have not had time to read your book yet, but there seems to be so much information in there that it's required reading. Should be required reading for all my listeners as well. And definitely get a copy of that one whenever you can. And I think things will start to make a bit more sense. Let's explore the Lincoln assassination a little bit more. Was he really just taken out because of the slavery and the central banks issue, or was there more than that?
There was more than that. Lincoln was taken out first and foremost for the reason that he was refusing to centralize power in Washington that would ultimately lead to the 14th Amendment. The purpose of the war between the states, the foremost purpose of that war, was to convert the little Confederate, white, Protestant and Baptist, limited Calvinistic American Federal Republic into a centralized republic where the states would essentially become provinces, where the states would not have the right to secede as they did previously. And this is spelled out in a Supreme Court case titled Texas versus White, handed down in 1869, that no state has the right to secede, and that there would be a center city of this new centralized republic, which would be Washington, D.C., and that ultimately the centralized republic would be morphing into an empire. that would be built from sea to shining sea, for which reason we're going to have to take out all the American Indian nations and confine them to reservations, and we're going to use our first general of the army, which would be Roman Catholic Phil Sheridan, overseen by his Jesuit master, Pierre de Schmet. And it's these two that are the ones that enter into the betraying the Indians, called the Treaty of Fort Laramie in 1868. So this is why they did it. And Lincoln was not going to go along with it. Lincoln was a friend of the South. If you see that silent film that describes the birth of the Ku Klux Klan, the first Ku Klux Klan, by the way, it's called Birth of a Nation. It's a silent film. It came out in 1915. It accurately shows that Lincoln was a friend of the South, and that he wanted the Southern states to come back into the Union on the same status that they had left. Well, if that would have been the case, then the whole war would have been fought for nothing. So, because Lincoln was reelected, and he surely, in the next 4 years, would have made sure that the Southern states would have come in on the same footing, he had to be eliminated. The other reason was Lincoln was working on the complete repatriation back to Africa. And this, the Jesuits utterly refused. They wanted to use the blacks to be able to ultimately someday justify martial law. So they would build huge major black communities in every major city through welfare and Social Security and SSI, and weaken them and make sure there's plenty of drugs for them to take, so they get plenty of crime all running into their cities with the Roman Catholic Mafia and the Roman Catholic CIA working together. So this is one of the reasons that they killed him too, because he was seeking to repatriate the blacks back to Africa, which was the policy of Jefferson and the policy of Monroe, which is why they built Monrovia in Liberia to repatriate American blacks back to Africa. So these are some of the major reasons that they killed Lincoln, the foremost ones, I think.
Wow. Yeah, those are certainly ones that I had not delved into that deep. You know, we all hear that, oh, he wanted to, you know, give the power of the printing money back to Congress and take it away, fully gaining power. But that's kind of obvious, though.
Well, that's true. I mean, the greenbacks were issued on the credit of the United States. There was no central bank that issued those greenbacks. But Lincoln did do some terrible things. And he signed certain acts into law, like the National Banking Act that created a national bank. He created the Income Tax Act that created the first income tax. You have the act that created the greenbacks, where you have no backing of gold and silver. And then ultimately passed an act where he indemnified everybody that would pass these acts. And this was all really shoved down the throats of the people by the Congress, particularly Thaddeus Stevens and Charles Sumner. But so the radical red Republicans were really, in fact, communists. And that's why Karl Marx calls the American War Between the States, or I call it the War of Northern Aggression, he calls it America's Communist Revolution. And Karl Marx was the overseas correspondent for the owner of the New York Tribune, who was none other than the evil Horace Greeley, the one who said, "Go west, young man, go west," after the war.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Yeah, I'm trying to take some feverish notes here so I can follow up on all this stuff later. Let's hop back over the pond to Ireland and the UK. I see some assassinations here. I'll just read a couple off here. We've got King Edmund, Thomas Becket, Lord Darnley, Spencer Percival, Charles Lennox Richardson, Lord Frederick Cavendish, Chief Secretary for Ireland, T.H. Burke, Henry Hughes. Guys, ring a bell?
Some of them. The one we want to remember that was assassinated in Ireland was Lieutenant General Henry Ireton. Lieutenant General Henry Ireton was the son-in-law of Oliver Cromwell. And when Cromwell put Ireton over Ireland, he restored order. The place began to be prosperous. Ireland never prospered more than they had in their history under the rule of Cromwell and Ireton. Well, they poisoned Henry Ireton. So that was a great crime on the part of the Jesuits, because the Jesuits have always wanted to use Ireland to overthrow the Reformation in England and Scotland. This is why in World War I, the Jesuits had ultimately, after World War I, caused Ireland to break away from the British Empire in 1922. And in World War II, Ireland will be neutral, and it will be a place for Nazi subs to refuel against their enemy just across the channel in Britain and Scotland. So the Jesuits have always thought to use Ireland against the Protestants of England and Scotland. And of course, the Northern Irish Protestants were English and Scotch-Irish. And the Jesuits hated them, too, for which reason? Remember the Titanic is built out of Belfast. And Belfast is a Protestant city. And the ones that are going to go down on the Titanic are lots of Protestants coming over to America. So Ireland was their springboard to seek to destroy the Reformation in England. And the two greatest strongholds of the Jesuits in Europe were Ireland and Bavaria.
Makes sense. So geographic location had a little to do with it, it sounds?
Absolutely.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Mexico.
Francisco. Remember, they assassinated a general there in the 1920s. But the most important one you want to remember is the murder, the poisoning of the great Benito Juarez.
In fact,
Mussolini, Benito Mussolini, his father named him after Benito Juarez. But Benito Juarez was the native Zapotec Indian of Mexico. And he had prepared for the priesthood, so he knew all about the power of the Jesuits. And he was helped to be brought to power by Americans. And Benito Juarez, one of the things he did was he expelled the Archbishop of Mexico City from Mexico. At the time, the papacy had stolen one-third of the most beautiful, prosperous lands in all of Mexico. It belonged to the papacy. Benito Juarez took it back. The Jesuits were the masters of Mexico and had been the masters for at least 200 years. Benito Juarez kicked them out. So I maintain that Benito Juarez was the greatest Mexican leader in Mexican history. And Calles was anti-papacy and anti-Jesuit, but no comparison to Benito Mussolini. And no comparison to Benito Juarez. So we have to remember that when we talk to our Mexican friends. In fact, when I was in Florida, I was just handing out some of my e-books, seeing who would take them. And it was funny. White people would not take my e-book, but the ones who received my e-book were blacks and Hispanics. So I happily handed it out to them.
Wow.
Yeah, and this one Hispanic gentleman, I could tell he was a gangbanger. He had a bunch of tattoos over his eyes and stuff. And I walked up to him and I said, I think you would like a copy of this. He said, what's this for? I said, well, there's a story of the Jesuits in there and how they assassinated many leaders, and one of them is Benito Juarez. I said, your greatest Mexican leader killed by the Jesuits. And he looked at me, looked down at it, looked at me again, and he said, thank you, sir. He took it, walked away. So the Mexican people need to know that their greatest leader was murdered by Rome. And if they're ever going to have any political liberty, they have got to get rid of the Jesuits. They're the ones that run the drug trade. They've turned that beautiful country into a hellhole with their Mexican mafia, all run by the Vatican.
Makes sense. They always take out anybody who's a threat to the establishment. Of the few names I have, assassinations in Mexico, the only one I recognize is Francisco Pancho Villa. Were you familiar with that assassination?
Yeah, Pancho Villa was resisting the American cartel capitalist. Remember, capitalism is good. Laissez-faire capitalism is good. It's a competition between businessmen to make the best product for the cheapest price, and the customer is king. That's the true biblical form of economics that builds a country. We have domestic manufacturers. When you have cartel capitalism, that means business is consolidated in the hands of a few men, and there is no competition. And that's all we have in America today, monopolies.
Right. People say, oh, capitalism, it's the greatest economy in the world. Yeah, if everyone played fair. But no one plays fair.
You have to define it. You have to say laissez-faire.
Right.
Laissez-faire capitalism is the greatest, but we don't have it anymore. All we have in America today on Wall Street is cartel capitalism, monopolistic capitalism. There is no competition in the steel industry. There's no competition in the oil industry. There's no it's like the military. So what you have is you have these cartel capitalists in New York. One of them was the father of William F. Buckley, that Knight of Malta. Those two Mexican leaders were against cartel capitalism in Mexico taking over all their natural resources. So they sent down, the American government, run by the Jesuits, sent down Lieutenant, I think it was Major Patton, along with Black Jack, they called him Nigger Jack, Black Jack Pershing. And General Pershing with the young officer Patton put an end to Zapata and to Pancho Villa. And that was all done by the cartel capitalists on Wall Street and in Washington, controlled by the Jesuits, to further their power over Mexico. I maintain Pancho Villa and the other ones, Zapata, were Mexican heroes.
Yep, he's on my list here too. Zapata. Emiliano Zapata, 1919.
That's right. Killed him.
And so they still control things. You know, we hear about now how the CIA is working closely with the Zetas, and how you know, Fast and Furious program goes much deeper than these two guys that just took the fall. The whole Fast and Furious was an absolutely by design gun running into Mexico, the USA funding specific gangs in Mexico so they can take out all the rival gangs and only leave just one and basically control the whole situation.
That's correct. And also use the Mexican gangs up here to further justify martial law, because the FBI and MS-13 have a secret agreement. And their secret agreement is that when the time is right, they can rob, rape, and pillage, whatever they want to do, but any guns that they take from the American citizens, they got to give them up.
Yep. And and we've talked, you know, you've shared that with us in the previous few episodes. I think we touched on the gun control, the gun confiscation in every episode, how they absolutely plan on disarming the population. There's a few methods of how they'll do it, but they've got to spark some kind of conflict, probably a race war, like you've said, right?
Something like that to justify the attempt to take them away. And then I say that that's got to be the line in the sand. When they want to pull that, you've got to declare your independence as a state, and you will not take our guns, because you first take the guns, and they're going to take your life.
Yep, absolutely. I've got some friends out there that I know are absolutely preparing for the... They're probably listening right now. You know who you are. Armed to the teeth, not giving up the guns. You can pry it from my gold, cold-headed fingers. Amen. We'll be right back. We're cutting to a break. The Cryptid Matrix with Eric John Phelps. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Revealing Talk Radio. If you've ever wanted to host your own talk show, Revealing Talk Radio, the world's newest premier radio network, has an opportunity for you. We're looking for many topics, whether your interest is in business, sports, helping others, alternative news, or simply promoting a product. Revealing Talk Radio wants you to become a talk radio host today. Go to revealingtalkradio.com or call 407-796-2102.
Variety is a spice of life, and why not spice up your life with the Joe Show on Revealing Talk Radio? Monday through Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, the Joe Show goes live and brings you a variety of guests. We have guests such as celebrities, authors, comedians, musicians, and so much more. All this only on the Joe Show, live Monday through Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, on Revealing Talk Radio.
This is Matthew Cooper from the Positive Control Systems Show. All behavior is communication. Tune in and learn how to properly communicate with your family and everyone around you. Join me each Wednesday at 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 Pacific, right here on Revealing Talk Radio.
You're listening to Revealing Talk Radio.
Yeehaw! And we are back. Decrypted Matrix on Revealing Talk Radio. We have a very special guest tonight, Eric John Phelps. For those of us who just joined, founder of VaticanAssassins.org. We were just combing through some history, assassinations, you know, manipulation, control of corporations, capitalism. We got into the gun control, the gun situation, how they plan on disarming the public. Some interesting facts, and maybe you can elaborate on this, Eric. America might actually be one of the countries per capita, China possibly the least, about 3 guns to every 99 heads. In America, there are almost 99 guns to every 100 heads. So, man, do they have their work cut out for them if they actually plan on going house to house and asking people or requiring people to give up their guns.
That's right. That's right. And with the understanding that if, once you take a person's guns and you can kill them, you can do anything you want to. That's just exactly what Joseph Stalin did. That's what Solzhenitsyn mourned about when he wrote his Gulag. He said, if we would only met the NKVD with our pickaxes and axes and sickles and met them at the door, they wouldn't have rounded all of us up and sent us to camps. So we have to maintain the guns. That's why it's the Second Amendment. The First Amendment is our religious liberty. The Second, right on the tail of it, is gun ownership, to resist a tyrannical government. Not for hunting, not for protecting yourself from the criminals, is to resist a political tyranny first and foremost.
Yep, and they are feverishly finding ways right now to hand over control. I think they're probably going to try to do it under the cover of darkness, where we wake up one morning and all of a sudden it's been signed over by executive order to, you know, control of the UN, and there'll be some global UN gun ban.
Yeah, they're going to try to do it through that way. So that's why we have to keep calling for our state to declare its independence. We need to declare independence. We no longer wish to be subject to Washington. Washington is incapable of governing the people of God. That's what Cromwell said to the Parliament. You're incapable of governing God's people, and so I'm shutting down this Parliament. He put the key in his pocket, and he dismissed every parliamentary member, named all their sins off every time each one that walked through the door. And you're an adulterer, and you're a whoremaster, and you're a drunk, and Sir Henry Vane, God deliver me from Sir Henry Vane. That was what Cromwell did with a tyrannical Parliament. We need to sever our ties with Washington and have state sovereignty once again, where we'll be a sovereign nation, and every state needs to do it.
Yep, it sounds like it. There's a lot we're hearing now of petitions that are spreading like wildfire. There's 15 or almost 20 states now that are trying to petition seceding from the federal government.
Now, remember, we really can't legally secede, just like the colonies really couldn't legally secede from Great Britain. We have been reduced to provinces. So what we have to do is have a formal declaration of independence in Pennsylvania and list all the grievances in that declaration of independence that justifies our separation from Washington. And every state needs to do that. That's the pattern, and that's the Protestant, Calvinistic, Baptist way. That's what we need to do again. But if you want to go back, we can go back to the assassinations.
Yeah, sounds like it. I wanted to definitely get into the presidents. I think there's a handful of presidents that we know, like William McKinley, James Garfield, Abraham Lincoln, JFK. Let's talk about the ones that nobody knows, Eric. I know you've got some jaw droppers here. What are the presidents
George Washington.
George Washington, no way. Do tell.
Yeah, I have it posted on my website. George Washington, remember, was the founder of the heretic United States of America, and Baptist, Protestant and Baptist. Rhode Island was Baptist. And so as a result, that heretic had to die. And Washington, in 1783, was baptized as a believer by his Baptist chaplain, John Gano, in the Hudson River. So Washington was not an Episcopalian. By the end of his life, he was a Baptist, and that's one reason why he didn't want anything to do with Green and Abercrombie and those other guys. Just a Calvinist, and his favorite chaplain was John Gano. And Washington was outside in the cold, in the snow. And remember, he had weathered Valley Forge. He'd spent 2 days oftentimes, 3 days in the saddle. Washington was in vibrant health, and he was outside, and he caught somewhat of a cold, so he came in, and Tobias Lear V was the one who gave him a handkerchief, I believe, laced with anthrax. And so this resulted in him getting a terrible sore throat and coughing and coughing. And as a result, Martha calls for Dr. Craik. Dr. Craik is a traitor. He's a Mason, but he's a traitor. Because remember, many American Masons were nationalists and not traitors, including Washington. But Craik is a traitor. And so what he does is he bleeds George Washington 3 times and takes out some 61. And that was the last thing that you needed to do for someone with anthrax poisoning. You don't bleed them. They need oxygen. And so between the time Washington took sick to the time he died was 48 hours, 2 days, and he was most assuredly poisoned. And in 1901 or 2, a book came out that said that the whole medical procedure again on Washington was wrong, and we believe there was criminal activity involved. This is the first time that any book was ever published on the poisoning of Washington in early 1900s. So no, George Washington was poisoned, and the Tobias Luther V, who was really responsible for his poisoning, Craik did the final bleeding. Tobias Luther V's administration, first of all, after he poisons Washington, the next thing he does is he burns all of his private letters.
Oh boy.
He burns his private letters, and you know why? Because Washington was an enemy of Jefferson. Washington was against Jefferson running for presidency. He regarded him as a conspirator, and at the time he was. And so Jefferson put Tobias Lear V up to kill Washington, and as a result, Tobias Lear V is then put into the administration of Thomas Jefferson.
Course.
So remember, Jefferson, according to the great preacher Jedediah Morse, the father of Samuel Morse, the inventor of Morse code, according to Jedediah Morse, he said Jefferson is an Illuminatus. So that's the story of the murder of George Washington. And then there, George Washington is the first of 14 American presidents that were murdered by the Jesuits.
14 American presidents, man.
14. Mm-hmm.
Well, who was the next one? After Washington.
Well, they killed Jefferson and Adams on the same day, on July 4th. They both died of the poison cup. Jefferson dies of dysentery.
That was what we were told, I remember. Jefferson mm-hmm. died of dysentery, ironically, on July 4th.
Ironic. Wasn't mm-hmm. that ironic?
Because so ironic.
Jefferson later becomes an enemy of the Jesuits because he's going to exchange letters with Adams on the restoration of the Jesuits in 1814, and they both don't like it. And so Jefferson and John Quincy Adams and James Monroe put together the Monroe Doctrine. Well, it's interesting that Monroe is poisoned on another day, on another year of July 4th.
Wow.
So it's Monroe, and then they poison William Henry Harrison, they poison Zachary Taylor, they poison James Polk. They tried to kill James Buchanan, but didn't succeed in the Washington Hotel in 1857. I think 28 other people died, including his nephew, but Buchanan had his stomach pumped and he wasn't killed. From then on, he became really a tool of the Jesuits in Washington. So there, are, I document 14. Woodrow Wilson was poisoned by them. Harding was poisoned by them in San Francisco. The Jesuit city of San Francisco. So I named them all in one of my posts. It's 14 American presidents they killed. In Russia, they've killed 2 czars. They've murdered Tsar Alexander I and Tsar Alexander II. They also killed probably one of Russia's greatest prime ministers, who was a man named Stolypin. He was a great nationalist. He would have made Russia a great nation. They killed him. And they were the Jesuits, remember the 1800s, they killed over 50 heads of state with their anarchists. The anarchists were run by the Jesuits, and then when the Jesuits brought communism into power, the anarchists were driven into the Communist Party or they were eliminated.
Interesting. The one that came to mind when you were rattling off the Russian assassinations, the Rasputin, like a crazy story. If anybody's ever heard of the Rasputin story and how he died, I mean, absolutely crazy.
Rasputin was a Jesuit. Without a doubt, he was a Jesuit.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And he was sent to overthrow the throne, the Romanov throne, by seducing the wife of the Tsar, and all the other women in the court, because apparently, according to history, he was quite a graciously endowed individual. And by the way, they cut off his penis and they stored it some 9 inches long, something like that.
Oh my.
So anyway, he overthrew the throne of the Romanovs, but you see, Nicholas II was a party to that because he was a Knight of Malta working with his cousin George V in England as another Knight of Malta to be removed so that the Bolsheviks, the Jesuit-controlled Bolsheviks, could then eliminate all the top leaders in the Orthodox Church that were against the Vatican. So that's why the Bolsheviks killed over 5,000 priests and nuns, arrested the Patriarch, Tikhon. So that's what they pulled off in Russia. They murdered Lenin. They used him, and then they murdered him in 1924 using Joseph Stalin. And then Joseph Stalin came to power, and ultimately they poisoned Stalin, Jesuit masters, by arresting Poskrevyshev and Nicholas Vlasak, who was the commander of the bodyguard of the NKVD for Joseph Stalin, or NKV or KGB. And within a couple of months, Stalin was poisoned for that. Of course, Stalin also wanted to kill every Jew in Russia, which was not the plan of the Jesuit order. They were going to use Russian Jews to begin to repopulate the revived Latin Kingdom of Jerusalem. So that's another reason they got rid of Stalin.
Ah, interesting. So then there's, you know, you got the puppets that don't behave and they're killed. And then you got the puppets that do behave and they're killed publicly. But little do people know, they actually get to go live on, live a secret life. They're killed publicly, like Hitler, for example. Were there any others, Eric, like that you know of, like Hitler, that got to have life after death?
Oh, Himmler. Heinrich Himmler.
Heinrich Himmler, okay.
There's a book, a very good book called SS1, The Unlikely Death of Heinrich Himmler. And it documents very, very good that Himmler was never poisoned. It was Heinrich Hittinger that was poisoned. And the British faked his death so that they then brought him into British intelligence after the war. Remember, the Jesuits saved all the major mass murdering SS officers. Not any of them were killed. That includes Himmler. That includes Bormann. That includes Karl Wolff.
What about Mengele?
Mengele was taken out with the power of the OSS and smuggled to South America. Mengele, remember, was the one who pioneered all these pathogenic infections, and he left all of his records in Auschwitz for the NKVD to take, and the NKVD would then share them with the OSS, later the CIA. So, yes, this is some of the beginnings of the creation of diseases. Because according to one of my books, Mengele had a top-notch pathogenic laboratory in Auschwitz.
Mm. And apparently he used, you know, also those pathogens, I think, crisscrossed with his ability to manipulate the mind and control the mind, and, you know, what helped spawn the MKUltra, you know,
that's
mind control
correct.
Programs.
That's yep. correct. That was all spawned out of a... Yep.
Yep. Wow. Absolutely mind-blowing.
So anyway, the Jesuits are the great assassins, and what else? Oh, they assassinated Heydrich. I show this in my book. Heydrich wanted to win. Heydrich was an enemy of the Jesuits, and so they assassinated Heydrich using British intelligence and Heinrich Himmler. Himmler worked in conjunction with Sir Stuart Menzies for the murder of Heydrich.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So it seems like poisoning is just the easiest way to do it. Like almost all the assassinations you've talked about, you know, it seems like 80% or 75 or 80% are poisonings just because it's
That's
the
right.
easiest.
It's easiest to write off as some other disease. That's right. Poisoning is their great love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then when they want to make it symbolic and, you know, public, they shoot you, and they do in a way that's been planned out meticulously, it seems like the JFK assassination, Dealey Plaza, Masonic Temple. He was killed at the apex of a pyramid. I mean, mm-hmm. mind blowing stuff.
That's right. And that's how one of the reasons how they started World War I, when they assassinated the Archduke Ferdinand of Austria. He was not killed by Prinkip. He was killed by Potiorek in the vehicle, and he was the one that shot Sophie in the groin and also shot the Archduke. And the Jesuits are the ones who turn up with a weapon years later.
Yeah.
Document that in my book, too.
Yeah, we heard of, you know, I had associated World War I with a hand grenade, you know, a hand grenade tossed at Franz Ferdinand or something. So that's not necessarily true,
no,
it sounds like.
No, he was shot inside the vehicle, just like Kennedy was shot inside the vehicle, just like Rabin was shot close up, just like one other was shot inside, just like Reagan was
Benazir
shot.
Benazir Bhutto, too. Benazir Bhutto was outside the top of her vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Eric, man, another mind-blowing episode. My jaw is on the floor the whole time almost, especially hearing about, you know, the George Washington assassination. I thought he was poisoned. Until tonight, I thought George Washington was just died of natural causes, or his, you know, tuberculosis or whatever they said. But lo and behold, he was poisoned, just like almost everyone else that was a threat to the Jesuits. And so, a walking encyclopedia, ladies and gentlemen. Again, another night with Eric John Phelps, part 4 in the books. Thanks for joining us, Eric.
Okay.